We're going to talk about is sacrificing our children to idols. Sacrificing our children to idols. Now, maybe a sort of a funny thought there, but I think there's going to be a lot of application made in this lesson. Here's how I want to get your mind thinking for this lesson. My theme this week is on Christian living. Christian living. How we can live as better Christians. We're going to talk about sacrificing our children to idols this morning. This afternoon, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the perfect investment. The perfect investment. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow night we're going to talk about don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. A lot of fishing analogies in that lesson. And then Tuesday night we're going to talk about spiritual Alzheimer's. We've known a lot of people that have been affected by Alzheimer's disease on this earth from a physical standpoint. We're going to talk about spiritual Alzheimer's and those that are affected by that disease. And then Wednesday night, again, Lord willing, we're going to talk about life's pits. When things don't go well in life, when things don't go our way, how we can overcome and get through those hard times, and if we do, what the reward will be at the end. That's the lineup for this week as we talk about Christian living. I had to keep Stacy under suspense this week. He wanted to know what was going to be preached on. Can't give away all my secrets just yet. You had the titles. So this morning, what I want you to think about is if you have children, you know, we've got some of the audience. At Piney Grove right now, we're so thankful. 9 and under, we have 14 9 and under. Now, we have several that are teenagers and, you know, upper teens, but just 9 under, we have 14, and that is something we're excited about because several of those families only have one, and I would assume they're going to have more, Lord willing, than they have now over the next several years. So just with what we've got, we ought to be able to add on to that. I have 2 young girls. I know I'm going to make mistakes as a father. I'm going to look back one day, and I'm going to say, I wish I'd have did this or did that, but I want to try to get ahead of most of those things and do it the best I can. I don't care if my girls have the best education in the world, they make the most money. I just want them to get to heaven. That's what I want more than anything. And that's so much easier said than done. And as a parent, that's very difficult. You may have teenage children. You may have children that are young adults. You may have children that are middle-aged. So here's what I want you to think about. If you have children that are still living in your house, please pay this lesson special attention. If you have grandchildren that spend the night with you or visit you, please pay this lesson special attention. If you have nieces or nephews, or maybe you're just close to some of the children or teenagers here at Tri-Cities, please pay this lesson special attention. Because this is a lesson, and I appreciate the Bible reading by Brother Terry earlier, that I think when we look at this, and what he read about it, in case you don't remember, in Jeremiah there, we're going to look back, they were sacrificing their children in a fire most of the time to idols. You see the picture here of someone giving away. Just imagine someone taking your baby and handing your young daughter, she's a 7th grader now, she's not that young, and handing your daughter to be burnt on an altar to a false god Baal. Just imagine that. Or Molech, excuse me. Molech. Just think about that idea for just a minute. You know, we would look at that and say, that's sickening. Somebody to give their kids and burn them in a fire as a sacrifice, that's terrible. Nobody should ever do that. But I'm going to tell you, when we get into this lesson, you're going to see how we're doing the very same thing, just in a different way in 2018. Almost the very same thing, just in different ways. This was practiced among God's Old Testament people. Before Israel entered Canaan, God warned them about the abominable practices of the heathen nations that they would displace. Particularly, the practice of child sacrificing. Look at Leviticus 18 at verse 21. Leviticus 18 and verse 21. Notice, you see the same thing here. And thou shalt not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech. None of your children pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Don't let it happen. Don't let your children or your seed pass through this fire to Molech. Well, look at 2 Kings chapter 16. Israel ignores him. 2 Kings chapter 16 verses 2 and 3. They paid him a lot of attention here. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God like David his father. Now there's a lot of people that this could be said about. Well, their parents raised them and brought them to church every Sunday, and they taught them the truth, and they never let this sad child, well, Mama, I'm just not happy there, or I would rather stay home today, or I'd rather watch the ball game, be with my friend. They pushed them. They didn't always like it, but they're old enough and they're mature Christians. I say, I'm glad my parents treated me like that. I'm glad they taught me the truth. I'm glad they didn't let... You see, he did not which was right in the sight of the Lord. We've got to make sure we're doing that. Verse 3, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and he made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. He did exactly what God told him not to do. He ignored it. And he offered his child as a burnt offering, as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord, which was, or not to the Lord, Molech, which is abominable, before the Lord. Look at chapter 21. One more passage here. 2 Kings 21, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Not good, but evil. After the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and he made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served him. Let's skip to verse 6. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You know, we look at this, and as I read this, I would ask any parent in this audience to imagine when your children were born. Some of you have ones, two, three, four, five. Just imagine taking a newborn child that you love, maybe 6 months old, maybe a year old, and putting that child on an offering table or some altar and seeing them burn alive. Think about the pain and the suffering. It just makes you sick. I know it does. I don't care who you are. It makes you sick. We think about hell. Hell's described as a flaming torment place. We think of hell, a lot of times we think of fire as a description of hell. If our children don't get to heaven, if we don't get to heaven, there's not many alternatives. So even though it's hard sometimes to take my 7-year-old daughter when she's crying and she's sad and it's not going her way, I know the hard years are still to come. They're like 7, you wait till she's 15. I know that's hard. I've got brothers and sisters. I felt like I'm 10 years older than my youngest brother and sister. I feel like I played that role sometimes with them. When they were doing things I didn't think they should do or involved in things I didn't think they should be involved in, I felt like I was doing that. And I still do with one of my siblings. It don't always feel good. And when you think about that for just a minute, it's like, well, if I do that, they're not going to visit me anymore. Somebody was talking to me something about this earlier. They're not going to spend time with me. Look. You'd rather give it all you've got so that they don't lose their soul on this earth than to not give it all you've got and then one day either be at their funeral or know in your heart that they're not prepared to meet their God. We need to make sure that just because this makes us sick, that when we're offering our children to idols on this earth, that makes us sick too. And I think you'll get the point as we go through the lesson. Again, it was practiced among God's Old Testament people. Through one of his greatest prophets, Jehovah tells us just how bad he felt about this practice. And that's what Terry read for us earlier. It's the same passage. If you want to look back, we're going to look at it again at the end of the lesson. So I'm not going to read it this time. Our last slide, we'll look at those passages again. But he's already read it for us. Same idea, offering their children through burnt offerings. It's not what God would have us to do. Unfortunately, it's practiced among God's New Testament people. That's us. We're not through offering up our children to idols. We've only substituted, instead of burning them on an altar, we substituted our modern-day gods for the ancient idol Molech. And you think about, I try to put little pictures in here, okay? The one on the left may not be great, but this one here, is this not a lot of parents today? The child is the center of everything. They can do no wrong. I talked about being a teacher. You know how many parents called me and said, well, there's no way my child did wrong, right? There's no way their child was ever wrong, Miss McCall. It was always. I know that we don't have parents like that in this audience, right? You know, you think about that. We've done the same thing, just in a different way. We're going to look at 3 points. 3 points, the lesson will be yours. 3 gods, 3 idols that we offer our children to. And here's what I want you to do. I know you came prepared for the gospel meeting this week. I know you came excited to study and worship God. But I really want you to think about your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, whoever you can talk to, and think, all right, I'm going to start fresh today. I don't care what's happened in the past, what I've said or what I hadn't said. I want to get to heaven. I want them to get to heaven. And I want us to think about if we've done any of these 3 things here. The first one, the God of apathy. The God of apathy. Now, that's a word that we don't use a lot, although we know what it means. It's basically where that, well, I really don't care. Really don't care. Too many children no longer care about ethics, manners, respect, or responsibility. Do they? I know if you're someone over 25, 30 years old, you look at it and you say, when I was growing up, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have been allowed to do that or wear that or say that or go there. We weren't allowed to do those things. Even worse, many children of Christians, not just children at school or children in your neighborhood or in Alabama, many children of Christians don't care about God, His Word, or His church. Mind is everywhere. When we took that Lord's Supper, he referred to Corinthians chapter 11 there, they had abused it. They'd done it the wrong way. Well, a lot of people, that's how they treat worship to God in general. What we say going to church or worship or Bible study, there's no concern for those things. We're concerned about everything else. If we as parents don't care ourselves, our children aren't going to care. The Bible teaches diligence, not negligence. And sadly, a lot of parents, because of active work schedules, because of kids wanting to be the popular kid at school, wanting to get the best education, go here, do it. A lot of times God's neglected in all of it. Our spiritual salvation is neglected. Let's look at a few passages and we'll move to the next point. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, please. He says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful," that's a word for lazy, "but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises." Can you imagine, we're in Muscle Shoals. That's our city address, right? Muscle Shoals. Can you imagine Coach Scott Basedon, I've never met the man, but I know that's a football coach, having some guys come in the locker room, "Well, we're not going to work out this week, Coach. We're just going to give it half effort at the game this week, Coach." Terry, do you think Coach Basedon would like it? Ain't no way! But you know what a lot of Christians do? "Oh, man, we got Bible class tomorrow. Oh, we got to work. We got the gospel meet. Well, it's you know, I had a long day at work. It's Wednesday. I'm just going to stay in tonight. I'm tired." And then the kids see this. It's reflected. We don't ever pray. We don't ever study. We don't ever go to any other gospel meetings. The only one we go to is our own and barely go to it. We haven't visited any of these brother and sister congregations around. We don't miss a ball game. We don't miss any concerts with the band. We don't miss practice. We go out to eat all the time. We don't miss Alabama. We don't miss our favorite television show. We got DVR. But we're apathetic towards worshiping God, towards studying His Word, towards doing good, towards all the things that we should be doing as Christians. We have lost sight that God's our Creator. We are so bogged down with our daily habits and our routines, we've forgotten God. And our children see it. And you know, we live in a generation where children want to be entertained. You know, they've got their phones out, they've got their iPod. They want to be entertained, even at schools. They want you to do all this stuff, technology now. The pendulum will swing eventually. But regardless, they want to be entertained. "Well, church don't entertain me anymore." Well, you go outside, you light a fire, you say, "Stick your hand in the fire." They burn their hand real good. You've ever burned your hand, you know how it feels for a couple weeks. It hurts. You say, "Well, look, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, the respect and the reverence of God, something's going to have to get your attention. Because I can't let this world and Satan use gimmicks to distract you that you lose yourself." We can't be apathetic to worshiping God. We've got to get in there. We've got to put God first. We've got to find a way to understand the death, burial, and resurrection and the significance in our lives. And look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Don't really light your kid's hand on fire. I'm just making a point there. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful." There's that word lazy again in business. "Fervent spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." I mean, we could keep reading, but that's enough. "Be diligent about it. Be zealous." What did he tell the church at Laodicea as John was writing? "You're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold." Well, you're here this morning, so you're obviously not cold. But are you hot? I hope so. hope we're on fire for the Lord. Too many children, they're just apathetic. And a lot of times it's a result of what they've been around, what they've seen. In 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 5, 2 Peter 1 at verse 5, notice what Peter says as he's starting to give the list of these seven things that we should do to add to our faith as Christians. He said, besides this, giving all diligence. Normally we'd read that, list of seven things. But notice before he gives the list, he says, besides this, give all diligence to these things. And then he says, add to your faith virtue, and he goes down the list. Give diligence to this. Make this important. You know, my dad likes to eat. He makes those meals diligent, important. A lot of us are the same way, right, Chad? What are we going to have for lunch today? What are we going to have for lunch tomorrow? What are we going to have for lunch next week? Maybe we've got that stuff planned ahead because it's important. A lot of times spiritual things get put on the back burner. We can't be apathetic toward God. A lot of people sacrifice their children to apathy. They let them grow up being half-hearted about worshiping and service. And that, you know, well, eventually they'll get into it, and then one day they're gone. They don't want to worship anymore. They've fallen away. They're not faithful. They've fallen into some false doctrine because the gimmicks have got, oh, it's fun out there. There's a lot of entertaining things. You know, people talk about that every church I've ever been to. We're losing the kids. We're losing the young. Not everyone's going to go to heaven. But if we don't impress God being the most important thing in their life, and that we're apathetic towards our spiritual diet, they're going to be malnourished, and they're going to become fallen away from the Lord. They're going to fall away if we're not sincere and diligent about our worship to God. Secondly, the God of materialism. The God of materialism. Wanting. Gotta have, right? Fixing to be that time of year where a lot of people exchange gifts. There's a lot of materialism going on. Child turned 16. You know, what's the picture say up there? I didn't have a lot of room on this slide to make that one big. But you see it. He gets a $150,000 to $200,000 car, right? Dwayne, you remember when you got one of those when you turned 16? I know Mike got you one. All right? I'm just kidding. I wanted a private jet, Stacy. I'm not happy with this. This isn't enough. This isn't what I asked for. Many raise their children in an environment where money and possessions take center stage. And sometimes we do it not even realizing we're doing it. Don't even mean to. This example, since the wrong message to our children, look at Luke 12, verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Beware. Just because you've got all these things doesn't mean anything when we leave this earth. But you know, it's easy for a parent. Because is there anything wrong with stressing your children to get a good education? Nothing wrong. I'd say everybody in this audience would agree. Get a good education. Go to school. Go to college. Get a trade. Whatever it is you're going to do, get a good education. Many would stress, be faithful to your job. Don't miss. Be there. Be prompt. Work hard. Give it all you've got. Nothing wrong with that. And we're all commanded to work. That, you know, to provide for our own. So nothing sinful yet. But you know what? A lot of times, it's like Guy McDaniel told one time. He knew a man who was a faithful Christian. And this faithful Christian didn't miss services at all. Well, he got a business going. It was rolling. He started missing on Wednesday nights. Well, why is he missing on Wednesday nights? Well, my business is so prosperous, I've got to be there. I'm the key part of the business. Well, then it's growing even more, so he starts missing on Sunday nights. What's the next step? He starts missing on Sunday mornings. So they're going down the road, preacher and the visiting preacher. Visiting preacher sees that guy's house and he said, boy, that's a nice house. Wonder what that house costs. Well, the preacher says, oh, I can tell you exactly what it costs. He said, really? He said, yeah, that guy used to worship with us. Really? He said, it cost him his soul. It cost him his soul. He didn't give him a dollar amount because that didn't matter. It was irrelevant. But he had become so involved with something that started out as a non-sinful thing, a healthy command from God to work and provide for our own, to get a good education. But you know, we teach that today. I see people and they'll talk to their kids and say, go off to college and get 6 years of school and come back and get a good job. They never once think, is there a place down there to worship? Are there good Christians? Most of the time there are. But they don't even consider that. They're more worried about the job. Go somewhere you're going to be happy. Go somewhere you can play college ball. Can you worship and do that? They don't even consider those things. Because God is no longer here. The first checkoff is, can I please God and do this? Can I please God and go here? Can I please God and take this? They don't even consider that anymore. It's, can I get this job? Can I do this? And then eventually it's, oh, where am I going to go to church down there? Or will I get? It's the last thing thought of. Does that seem like someone who's putting God first in their life? We have to consider that and think about it. Such raising sends the wrong message to our children, even when we don't mean to do it. Earthly treasures a lot of times take precedence over heavenly ones. In Matthew 6, Jesus talked so much about these type of things, but in Matthew 6, very famous sermon here, verses 19 through 21, verses you've read many a times. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. I think we've already heard that one once this morning. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's the key verse. My treasure's in my eye. It's in my heart. Like yesterday, a lot of people's treasure was, I want Alabama to win this game. That's fine. If Saturday, you had all your stuff taken care of, that's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But some people get their treasure in their heart being materialism. I want this piece of land. I want this car. I want this job. I want this degree. So much that they'll sacrifice. You've heard things like that take sacrifice, and they do. But they're willing to sacrifice God to get them. They're willing to sacrifice God to obtain these earthly possessions, these materialistic things, that when it's all said and done, 10 years later, that car don't mean nothing to me anymore. That land, you know, they start to lose that love for it. And they've forsaken God the whole time. They've left God out of the whole picture. Spiritual poverty is what will come. In Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Luke 12 again, this time verse 21. He says, when a strong man Luke 12 verse 21, wrong chapter there. So is he that lays up for treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We've got to be rich toward God. Those possessions need to be souls that we've saved, people, lives that we've affected. We can work, we can have nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as God's the center of it. Jesus is the center of it. If I can worship Him, if I can serve Him, if I can please Him and do these things, they're fine. If any of these things keep me from serving, worshiping, or pleasing Him, I need to take them out of my life. Because they're not worth losing my soul. So many people would look at that baby that's about to be burned on our altar and say, no, don't burn it, stop. But they'll give their children over to apathy. They'll give their children over to the god of materialism. What do we want? What do we desire? The American dream. And they leave God out of it. And then finally, on a similar note, the god of pleasure. The god of pleasure. Is this not our world? I want to be entertained. I want to have pleasure. I want it to be fun. I want life to be a thrill, exciting. This begins as many children observe their parents' obsessions with secular activities. We're in 4 clubs. We go on 6 vacations. We have to work extra hours so we can do all these things. So therefore, that's why we're losing all our time. The problem is not a healthy pursuit of such innocent interests. There's nothing wrong with having entertainments and hobbies, pleasures, if you will. Nothing wrong with a healthy pursuit of these things. As long as we seek God first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. That's what we've got to do. He's got to be first. And all His righteousness will be added to us. That's got to be first. We've got to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Sadly, it's the opposite. I love my pleasures with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And God gets the leftovers. And my kids see this. I want my kids to be so happy and fit in with that group at school and have so much fun and to get such good education and to make me proud that by the time they're 25, I look back and I say, man, we missed the most important thing. We left God out of it. They're not a faithful Christian. They're not attending a type of worship that I know is pleasing to God. And they're going, they may go to church occasionally somewhere, maybe not faithful, maybe not doing what's spirit and truth, but and then we just, it hits us. Oh, man. And I speak knowing I've got young children, and I'm going to face these battles. But if you still have children or grandchildren, think about these things. The problem is allowing such activities to crowd God out of our hearts. Again, in Luke 8, this time verses 11 and 14, Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. All right. Your children hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So they've heard it. The seed has been planted. Many of your children probably obeyed the gospel. If you're in our audience this morning, you're not a Christian, I want you to think about that for a minute. Once you get to the age where you can hear the word of God and understand it and say, all right, I know what I need to do to become a Christian, then what you need to do is confess that before men, be baptized in Christ's remission of sins, turn away from your sins, repent of those sins, and follow God faithfully. And try the best you can to live as faithful unto death so you can receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. But if you haven't done that, consider that and think about that. Now, as you think about that seed entering all of our hearts, maybe your children or grandchildren have obeyed the gospel. Maybe it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. We know there's four types of ground that seed falls on. And a lot of times, pleasure is this third type of ground. Look at verse 14. This is the third type of ground. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked out with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. I have witnessed to many of crying parents and grandparents. I've been preaching about 12 years all in all. I've witnessed to many of them come forward and be baptized, even me cry, because it's so moving and encouraging and joyous. And for a couple weeks, we are so on fire. They would miss a service. They're wanting to study. They're wanting to visit meetings. They're just on fire. And then time takes its toll on them, just like it does all of us. And they lose interest in spiritual things. They being involved in other things. And that word which was planted in their heart starts to slip away. Because pleasures start to invade. Those thorns, they start to show that. It's just like planting a garden right here he's talking about. You've got some good watermelons coming up. Everything's looking good. And for the first few weeks, those watermelons look great. The vines are beautiful. Well, then if you don't hold that garden all the time, eventually the weeds take it over and they kill out the watermelons. Then you've just got a bunch of weeds out there. They hadn't done anything. You've got to hold that garden. You've got to hold those watermelon vines. You've got to thin them out. You've got to have the right fertilizer. You've got to have the right rain. That fertilizer and rain is the word of God, the growth that we get from studying and practicing what we're doing. And you can develop some fruit there. That's the fourth seed, fruit that comes to perfection on that good ground. What about us? You know, sadly, I say that. I know a lot of us can read that right there. I know. And we can think, you know, that's happened in our lives. We've seen them become Christians and then fall away from God. Because the word was choked out by pleasures of this life. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Loving pleasure over loving God is a sure sign of sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul's writing here to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 4, notice what he says. 2 Timothy 3 at verse 4. He says, he's giving a list of things not to be. A list of things we've got to avoid. He says, traitors, heady, high-minded. But notice this next one. He's so specific right here. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So what's a sin that he lists here? Someone who loves pleasure more than God. It's Sunday, 9:30. We're going to have a softball tournament down here. I don't usually miss, but I love softball. You ever known people? I'm going to play in that tournament. Well, my favorite, it's just one time only. They're going to have that on TV today at 10 o'clock. Oof, got to make a choice here. I'm going to choose my pleasure. Well, we want to spend we've got all this extra funds this year. We can put it towards this. We're going with the pleasures. Well, we've got some extra time this week. We hadn't been to a meeting this year. Do we go visit one or do we go to that ball game? We choose the pleasures. That's when our heart's not in a good position. Many parents encourage their children to be very active in such activities. Nothing wrong with that. Unfortunately, to the exclusion of their spiritual training, there's something wrong with that. Spiritual immaturity, spiritual malnutrition. This is not the Lord's plan for us. Matthew 6:33, if you want to turn there, we can quote the verse, but let's turn. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus makes it very simple and plain here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first, and the rest of your life will take care of itself. How many of you are faithful to God, and you know that that's true? And you just wish others could see it. We need to make sure that our children see it, that our grandchildren see it. We don't want to lose our children to pleasures, to materialism, to apathy, so that one day they may lose their soul eternally. It's not worth it. And this is a lesson that's very easily preached. but it's harder to be done. It takes standing up and saying something when people don't like it sometimes. It takes hard times. It takes tough times. Sometimes it's easier with other children or grandchildren. But we've got to do it if we love them. You know, some people that are closest to me, they don't understand love. They think love is saying, I don't want to disappoint you, so do what you want to do. It's okay. I love you. I don't want to see you sad or disappointed. That's not love. The Lord rebukes and chastens those who He loves. We do that with our children. They need teaching. They need edification. They need to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't want to lose our children or sacrifice our children to any of these idols or these gods. In conclusion, God only gives us our children for a short while. Then we must give them up. You know, you may celebrate with that empty nest, but then again, it's going to bring some sorrow and sadness because you're going to miss those children and those young years when they were teachable, when they were sponges. You know, I honestly believe I can speak for you and say that you would cringe at the idea of a child sacrifice being burnt on an altar. I just feel like we can all agree there. How much more should we cringe when our children are offered up to our own modern-day idols? I'm doing the same thing as they were doing, just in a different way. Therefore, we're exhorted to train and teach. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. Train up a child. To do this takes time. It takes effort and it takes love. Not the love that says do whatever you want, but hard love sometimes. True love, unconditional love. Maybe they have fallen away. That don't mean they can't come back. Maybe they haven't been faithful. It's not over. As long as our heart's still beating, we still have time and opportunity to go home today, to go to them this week. We've got years going. Maybe we've made mistakes. Maybe we can correct them. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes love. If we sacrifice our children to modern-day idols, Jeremiah's ancient words will have a relevant, haunting ring to them. Turn with me one last time to Jeremiah 32, where we read from earlier this morning in Jeremiah 32. And let's look at verses 30 through 35 together, and the lesson's yours. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation in mine anger and in my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. You know, you think about America today. I'm not sure God would say the same thing. Maybe He would say something similar. But we need to take our children and have them be different. Not conform to this world, but a peculiar people. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive my instruction. Some children, that's the way it's going to be. You can do all you can. They just never listen. They never become faithful. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. That's like we build things, we do things today without even realizing we're setting them up for false idols. We're setting them up to turn away from the Lord. We don't even realize it. Which I commanded them not. Neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Daddy, I said I wanted the blue car. Right? You know, I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you this morning. Let's think about our children, our grandchildren, those lives that we can affect. And let's not offer them up to idols. Or false gods of apathy, of materialism, or pleasure. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you know what? You're in a group of people that want you to be a Christian. They support you. Maybe they know who you are. Maybe they've been praying for you. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Well, we're in no rush. We're in no hurry this morning. We would love to conclude this morning's worship to God by seeing someone surrender obedience to Him by becoming a Christian. And we want you to know that we support you. We encourage you. We love you. We care for you. And God has given His only Son so that this could happen. He's the only way. He's the only way that you can be saved is through Christ and His blood. We would love to see you come forward and make that confession of your faith. Be baptized into Christ, repenting of your sins and trying to serve Him faithfully. We encourage you to do that. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you're a young person. You say, you know what? Those idols have been first in my life. Those gods are the ones I've been serving, not God Almighty, not Jehovah God. I just want to make a change. It's private. It's more me than anybody else, but I want to go home today and I want to think about this, I want to pray about it, and I want to make some changes in my life and make sure God knows He's the God of my life and that He's the God that's showing in my life, not these other idols that have been my gods. Maybe it's public. Maybe you want the prayers of the saints. Maybe you've sinned in a public manner and you just want to be forgiven by your brethren. Hey, we support you. He loves you, care for you. Make that decision. Don't put it away. If it's on your heart and on your mind, do it while it's fresh. Because the longer we wait, the more we harden our hearts, and the harder it is to make those decisions we need to make. If we can assist you in any way, why don't you come and sing the song that's been selected.